We're in our little bit of few days of winter before spring again, and then we'll go back. So we've got a number of announcements today. We're still have little brochures and things about the pictorial directory. Has everybody signed up for the pictorial directory that's going to? If you don't sign up, Bertha will come by your house. So it's going to happen. So make sure you're able to do that. It'll be, I'll go by their house? No. I'll just call. All right, so be sure and schedule that. You can do it online really easily. Or there's a team outside the sanctuary that'll be able to help you with a reservation right afterwards. But we're looking forward to having an updatable directory. This will be one that we can update as needed. And so that's going to be really good. And everybody who gets a picture will get a directory. So that's how you're going to get your directory, is by getting your picture made. You don't have to buy anything. You'll get one free print. But if you need some other pictures, you'll be able to have the opportunity to purchase that. Let's see. Altar flowers today. It's just the wedding anniversary of John and Joyce, but that's got to be a bigger number. John, is this a big one or just a regular? 58?
Wow.
All right. See, I knew y'all have been married longer than I've been alive, so. I know all of them are big at this year, at this age, but that is so wonderful. And Joyce is probably, oh, there's Joyce, so congratulations. She's not trying to hide. She's writing notes and stuff on the door there. We have a care conference coming up. Take a look at that. If you've got some youth or teenage children or grandchildren, we're going to be doing a little conference talking about suicide prevention. I think it's suicide prevention. Where are my glasses? Yeah, suicide prevention. So if you've got some kids or if there's some neighbor kids that hang out at your house a lot and you want them to go somewhere, then we're going to have that conference here. That's later, Sunday the 24th. Sunday the 17th, which is next week, there's going to be the bishops. The youth are going to be able to go to a Methodist event, conference event, that's the one word I'm looking for, that's geared for, let's see, do we have some more information on that? We had some more information on it last week, but it's got the date and time in there. That's called GLOW. So it's a bishop's rally. So put that note on your calendar. That's going to be really interesting. I've met the bishop in some of the training sessions and some other offerings that they've had, and the bishop's a really nice guy. He's got a lot of interesting things to say. So I highly encourage that as well. Let's see. Jennifer, y'all taking extra adults to that rally? Okay. So, all right, and then let's see. What else do we have? Scout Sunday. You've probably noticed. There's some people running around wearing scout uniforms. Well, actually, they're running right in the sound area right now. But today is Scout Sunday, and we've got a few scouts right over here. If you're currently in Boy Scouts, go ahead and or scouting, go ahead and stand up. And I know for those people who are technically this is Girl Scout Sunday. But in the Methodist Church, this is Boy Scout Sunday, and next Sunday is Girl Scout Sunday because of communion. The Methodist Church just officially slides it a week over. But if you're in Girl Scouts, is anybody in Girl Scouts? Okay. How many people in here have been in Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts? Let's raise those hands up. All right. St. Philip's has almost always had a scout troop here. We've currently got we have a few kids meeting right now, but Troop 360, but if any of your kids are interested and not already in a troop, then they can talk to Steve or just get some you can ask at the church here and we'll get you some information. All right, let's see. I just don't think there's anything else important? Oh, except if you've got the one-page brochure, the women's retreat this year, y'all aren't going away, huh? Okay, so men, the women are not going away. You need to put that on your calendar. They're going to stay here. They'll be gone one day. It's going to be in the fellowship hall. The speaker's information is on there, and I know I thought I saw a table already set up out there. Is that for sign-ups for the retreat? There's a table out there. Check it out.
Amy. Look at Amy.
Is there a table out there for the women's retreat? Oh. Well, you know what? After birthing them, there's another table. Yes, Sharon. Okay. I like being right. It happens so rarely. I need y'all to tell my wife. So there's a table for signing up for the women's retreat. Go ahead and sign up. And I guess, you know, it says from 9 to 4, but I understand the women like to stay up late and play games and talk and stuff. So I'm assuming that they're going to stay later than the 4 p.m. Are you covering your face? Well, nobody here leaves on time. You know, we hang around after church. Do you have an announcement?
Well, I was going to, but since you took up... No.
Go right ahead.
Are you finished?
I'm done.
Okay. Let's give Mark a big hand. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, the only announcement I have beyond that, and there's a lot of great activities going on in the life of our church. Let's not forget to pray for our church as United Methodist Church, because the report, the big report I've been talking to you about for quite some time, will be occurring the 23rd, the 26th of February. And so we'll have a better idea about our future as a denomination. And so if you have any questions about that, you're always welcome to talk to me a little bit more, and I can give you that. Or Mark has also been to some of the meetings, and Ben, we'd be glad to share with you whatever we know about that. All right, let's go.
Are y'all ready to get started? Let's stand and pray and enter into worship. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to come together to worship you. Just help us to focus on you and focus on you alone. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.
Bow At this time, if we can have our kids come forward to tackle me, I guess.
Right here.
Sweet. All right. I'm like shrinking here. I don't know what's going on. Like, so what are we gonna do? I'm out of a job. But you know, this is a chance where we get to like proclaim and say what we believe in. And so we can actually be pretty strong about it. We can be pretty bold about it. And it's a moment for us to kind of stand up and you can't hide from me. And so this is our chance to share with the adults here and to lead them in what we believe in. And so if you will join with us as we profess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Flow out of here for Children's Church.
Yes, as the kids make their way to Children's Church, this would be the time that we start preparing ourselves for greeting each other, But let me say first, thank you for coming out in the weather. When I saw that the weather was cold and drizzly, I thought to myself, oh, nobody's going to come to church today. But you did come. You came to church. And so we are blessed by your presence here today. All right, we'll spend each a few moments and shake hands with your neighbors. Give them a hug.
Psalm 66 says, shout joyful praises to God, all the earth. Sing about the glory of his name. And I don't know if you notice this, but nowhere in this does it say that you have to stand to sing and praise the Lord, or you have to sit to praise the Lord. So during this time of our continuing into worship, if you want to stand, stand. If you feel more comfortable sitting, sit. It just is your time to praise the Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the Holy, 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 merciful.
That song. One of the old classic songs, yeah, in our hymn book and part of our church tradition for a long, long time, Blessed Assurance. So this time we come to our period of our service where we uplift our those on our prayer list and update folks as information comes to me that I can share with you. I'm sure your Sunday school classes have even more information than I can provide. But I wanted to just uplift. I was just asking the choir, where's Earl? I hadn't seen Earl in a while. And so I'll check on him. I'm sure he's still recovering at home or making hot sauce for all of us or something of that nature. But we want to keep him in our prayers. And Norma is back, Hartsdale. She's back at home. She came home Thursday, and she's doing much better. She didn't think she was doing very good there for a while, but... that's to be expected on her kind of surgery that she had, but fortunately she is getting better. I also wanted to lift up another person whom I just met here recently that has not been a part of our church for a while because she's homebound, but Fonda Burgay. I don't know if some of you may remember her. She's in a rehab facility. She has some leg issues, and so I was able to visit with her. And so if you remember Fonda, and I know some of you do because you brought it to my attention, but please keep her in your prayers as well. All right, at this time, let us go to the Lord for a word of prayer. So, Lord Father and Creator of all, by whose power we stand and before whose goodness we bow, we praise you for your matchless patience. Try as we may to rely on our own power to solve the mysteries of life, you do not abandon us. Rather, you come to us as a caring parent, call us home with open arms, and challenge us with a love as persistent as it is pure. And even though we may spurn you, you do not spurn us. And so for your grace, we are ever grateful. So as we ponder on this love, we are reminded of our calling to share your light with others. Help us to be points of light. Lead us to minister and care for the brokenhearted. Lead us to extend the hand to our neighbors who have fallen. And help us to be agents of healing as we seek to help our family and friends in need. Let us not forget those whom we have lifted in prayer this morning. Remind us that it's because of your Holy Spirit we have the power to transform lives. We have the power to create miracles. So we ask, Lord, that you restore in us the joy of salvation and help us this day, O Lord, to rediscover the church as the body of Christ and ourselves as its members, each caring for the others and all working for you. And finally, may your work continue to reach this and future generations that all may one day experience your everlasting love. We offer these words in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us the prayer to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
This morning, Amy and I were running late. I don't know how many of y'all noticed it. Of course, everybody did. So we got up and got ready for church this morning. We were just fixing to leave, and as is our typical start of every day, we counted noses because we never know how many teenagers we have in our house until we count them. And we noticed that we were down by one from when we went to bed last night. And we searched the house, searched the property, looked everywhere, and we've had a lot of upheaval, chaos, hurt feelings, depression in our house this weekend. And we couldn't find this young man, and we looked everywhere. Started looking at the security cameras, started looking at the security system, what time doors were open and closed, and we couldn't find him. And my default setting, and whenever we experienced that, by the way, we did find him, and he was in a house that was under construction a couple of blocks away, and we told him to go home before he catches pneumonia. But my default setting when we go through something like that is to tell all of them, okay, I've got this nice shackle for you to wear, and just in case you slip out of that, I'm going to use one of these GPS ear tags like they have for cows so we can find you. But of course, can't do that. And God's at work in our lives and in our home, in the lives of these teenagers who come and go through our house. And times like this make me wonder whether he's working on them or working on me, because he's changing me every day. Zig Ziglar said, achieving our goals is not about what we get, it's about what we become. We as a church gather in this time, we set aside this time in our services every Sunday to pass the plate and to be good stewards and to remind ourselves of the stewardship that we have. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being at work in our lives, in this church, in the Sunday school classes, in this community. Thank you, Father, for the role that we play at St. Philip's in fulfilling the Great Commission. Father, we also thank you for the work which you've invited us to join that you have going around the world. And Father, though we may never see the faces of all the people we touch, we may not know their names, we may not know where they are, the gifts that are given this morning and the tithes that are collected this morning will touch every one. Father, we seek to be obedient people. We seek to be stewards of all that you've given us. And we ask that you would move us to commit acts of obedience, so that others may come to know you. Thank you, Father, for those that are gathered here. And I pray that you will send us out. Make us salt and light, just as you've commanded. And we pray all that in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. Thank you. wish I had talent. I used to play the piano in a marching band. That's how I hurt my back. That's about it. In Luke chapter 5, beginning verse 1, once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake, and fishermen had gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, and the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. And then he sat down, and he began to teach the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come help them. And they came and they filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees and saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." And when they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. These are the words of the Lord.
So, this is a familiar lesson, it should be, and those of you who have been going to church for a long time have heard a variety of lessons spin from this particular chapter. So I thought I'd do something a little bit different. What I'd like to do is start off by doing a little hearing test. Everybody's hearing good? And the hearing test will lead us eventually to our lesson. So it's kind of an opening illustration. And so if I were to use my preaching, I can turn off the thing again. In reality, our voice just naturally carries so far. It only goes so far, our voice. And so there are exceptions. For example, has anybody known a loud talker? You know what a loud talker is? I was in the store the other day, and there's this guy, and he answered his phone. Okay, I get that. But his conversation became conversation that the whole store could hear. He was so loud, and he was getting these awkward looks, including from me, like, really? And he moved to the corner of the store, a far corner, but you could hear his voice booming across the store, and then eventually he went outside. Thank goodness he went outside. So, yeah, loud talkers are, you hear them in restaurants, how awkward it is for everybody at the table when there's a loud talker at the table. And they're over here talking over here, so I don't know what's going on. You're distracting me, Ronnie. You're distracting me. Or I always felt sorry for the couple who's dating for the first time and one of them is a loud talker. And you're just kind of going, okay, this is a bad date. There are also soft talkers. Are you familiar with the soft talker? Now, soft talkers are people that even with normal hearing, you just can't hear them. Because they talk like this, you know, they're just kind of barely talking. Like, and you know that you're a soft talker when people around you go, huh? What? I'm sorry? What'd you say? Do you need something or are you just coming up here? You're trying to hear me? Wow. I tell you, this section right here, pretty tough. So a soft talker is somebody you have to really listen to carefully. So Pam and I, we have a couple that are friends that we go out to eat with occasionally, and she's a soft talker. And I'm telling you, I am leaning over the table. Huh? What? What? And I know I'm losing my hearing. I get that. You know, as I get a little bit older, I'm losing some hearing. But even her partner, who's sitting next to her, say, I can't hear what you're saying. So she's a soft talker, right? So in conversation, what is the normal distance that a voice can be heard? Well, there's a lot of factors come into play. I was doing a little research on that. It's like, you know, the factors that come into play include such thing as background noise or terrain or structures, building structures, or wind. All these things can provide distraction to hearing. Or, for example, your voice will carry a lot longer over water. Is that correct? Anybody have a boat? Did you have a boat at one time? There we go. So you couldn't just say whatever you wanted to say on that boat because the boat, you know, 200 yards from you could hear you. Because voice carries over water, right? And there's a pitch to consider as well, because men's voices tend to be louder than women's voices. They're lower. Women's voices are higher. When we start losing our hearing, we lose hearing of the high pitches first. At least that's what my audiologist tells me. And so according to a number of sources, a normal voice carries around 22 feet from the person speaking. 22 feet. So how far is that, Ron? You're the architect here. So here to what pew? To about right here. That would be like a normal voice if I'm sitting around just talking to you like this and telling you a story. Right? Now, if I'm using my preaching voice, a loud voice, it carries up to 109 feet. Which is equivalent, if you need a football field illustration, that's about 36 yards. 36 yards. So that's quite a distance. And the normal range for a whispering voice is 11 feet. 11 feet. But again, there's a lot to consider. So why am I going down this rabbit trail on the subject of hearing? Because we're not here, you're not here to hear me talk about hearing loss, right? Because today's lesson raised my curiosity about Jesus' teaching in a public setting. And this has always been curious to me. And I thought, well, here's an opportunity. So my curiosity led me to ask a question. Could everyone hear in the crowd what Jesus was saying? Could everyone hear? Perhaps he had a better way of being heard than teaching to a crowd. So let's kind of see what we can discover. Our lesson begins by telling us that Jesus was standing beside the lake teaching when a crowd gathered around him. And the crowd was so large that it pressed Jesus against the shoreline. And so at that point, Jesus decided, I need to get into a boat so I can teach my lesson in this boat setting. There's a lot of interesting questions that come to mind as I'm looking at this story. The first question that comes to mind was, how large is this crowd? How large is this crowd? Because we often think of Jesus teaching to large masses of people. That's an image that tends to pop up. You know, when Jesus fed the 5,000, it's like, did the people at the very end of that 5,000 group, did they hear what Jesus was saying, or were they hearing somebody else? So let's pop up a picture for us, if you could, Steve. This is your cue. I told him. Okay, there's Jesus sitting down This is just obviously it's an artistic picture. It's not a real picture, but you kind of get the idea. Now, you see how those people are way back in the back? Do you think they heard Jesus? Probably not. Probably not. But they probably heard through a different way, and we'll talk about that in a second. Jesus' range was probably 22 feet as far as people hearing clearly. And we would assume that people then, as people now, have lost their hearing as they've gotten older. So we can assume that Jesus was speaking in a normal voice also, because what? In this picture and in our lesson, Jesus is sitting down. Now, if you want to talk loudly, do you sit down to talk loudly? No, because it takes much effort. It takes a lot of effort, right? So I know that when I visit, you know, nursing home facilities, retirement homes, and somebody can't hear, I'm exhausted after that visit because I am shouting the whole time. And then that's typically when I'll stand up and start pacing in the room, so I can be heard. So if you're just sitting down like Jesus is doing there in that picture, and as Jesus is doing in our lesson, it's really hard to be heard. So you would think that he would be standing in our lesson. Instead of sitting in a boat, he'd be standing. Maybe his footing was off. But perhaps Jesus thought his voice would carry farther out if he spoke over water. Though that's not likely the case, because being that close to the shoreline, you would have to contend with anything, with waves or something like that hitting the shoreline. But notice what happens next in our story. You can take the picture off now, Steve. Thanks. Notice what happens next in our story. Jesus calls some of his first disciples, and he does so on a one-on-one basis. He talks with Simon first, as been read to us, then James and John. And then Jesus tells them that he will help them become catchers of people. Remember when we were reading that? But note, he set an example on how this could be done. While teaching the masses was important, for it did plant seeds, it got people to think. The more significant moments, I think you will agree with me, the more significant moments in Jesus' ministry is when he spoke one-on-one to a person, when it was a personal conversation, when it was intimate in that regard. Because in this way, Jesus knew that he could be heard. If he's standing before a person and talking, he should be able to be heard. And this was the method of conversation that tended to produce, if we look at our scriptures, the gospel, tended to produce the best results, one-on-one. And I'd like to make one more observation on Jesus' interaction with the first disciples. That's important because he chose followers that would amplify his voice. He chose followers that would amplify his voice. He chose people that would carry his message to other people, you see. He didn't have to shout to be heard. His followers would pass Jesus along to the people standing next to him, or their friends, or their neighbors, or coworkers. That's important for us to hear. It's like that picture I was showing you all ago, that we showed you all ago. Perhaps the people in the very back couldn't hear, but maybe they were asking, like, what did he say? And that started a chain effect, and people started talking to each other. So, what does this observation mean to us? So when I first entered the ministry as my calling, I envisioned myself, in all honesty, I envisioned myself preaching to a large crowd and a big sanctuary. That's what I thought when I was starting off in ministry. And the reason why I thought that is because I'd gone to a couple of Billy Graham, you know, revivals. And I thought, I want to be like Billy Graham. I want to be able to have people, you know, come up in masses to the altar. And I thought, wow, that's so great. But after attending a couple of these Billy Graham revivals in my early years, I soon felt as though I was all alone. After the revival was over, No more masses, no more excitement. And it seemed that my level of enthusiasm had lessened. But a seed had been planted, and we'll get that. We'll give Billy Graham credit for that, because he planted seeds on all those who attended these big rallies, 75,000, 50,000 people, whatever. But the seed was not nurtured after the after the rallies ended, after they all these crusades ended. On the other hand, I found that my richest spiritual experiences early on in my life was with my church, particularly my youth group. Because it was this group that exposed me to some great youth ministers and volunteer adults. Some of you work with our young people today, probably don't even realize the impact that you're having with our kids, right? But it was this intimacy, this relationship between myself and our youth leaders and the other youth in the group that was so significant in my spiritual growth. And therefore, I came to a conclusion early on that the best ministry opportunities, the best way to be heard, is not necessarily in the masses, but in a small setting, one-on-one. And I think that is the best way. This is the way that I think can be we can best serve our Lord, one-on-one, small groups. Sunday school classes are important, close relationships. These all are areas of impact. And unfortunately, in our churches, we're seeing less and less of these small groups like we used to see. And the Sunday school class model is not like it used to be. But on the flip side, on the good side, you see a lot of churches, if they don't have Sunday school classes, they at least have home groups, some sort of group where they can interact on a more personal, close level. It is interesting to point out that Forbes magazine recently noted in one of its articles that an effective way to make an impact on a company is to identify individuals in your organization that will increase your voice and influence. Work with people one-on-one to develop trust, and they will support you. So throughout the centuries, church leaders have built those relationships. They have done what Forbes is advising for companies to do. And church leaders have passed on the baton onto following generations in the assurance that God's good news will be heard and the church will continue on for generations to come. And it's all been done mostly through building relationships. Building relationships. Have you ever think about, how do you think that the Church of Latter-day Saints has grown so fast? Have you ever thought about that? They depend on families to develop relationships with other families in order to share their faith stories. Mormons don't have mass rallies. You don't see that. You don't see it on TV. At least I've never seen it on TV. They have intimate relationships with those people in their church environment. So no matter what is thought about the Mormon church, because I understand some of us think of our Mormon brothers and sisters as cultic. Whatever you think about them, one cannot deny the numbers. I was looking at the numbers here, and I was just amazed. I was amazed at the growth. So the church began back in 1830 with how many people? Six people, right? Six people in 1930. And just over 100 years, a little over 100 years in 1947, that number ballooned to 1 million people. 100 years, 1 million people? Okay, that makes sense. And 16 years later, though, to 1963, that number increased to 2 million. Another million people in 16 years. Are you seeing the visual here? 1 million for the first 100 so years. Another million in the 16 years. Now, today, just 55 years later, the church claims to have a membership of 15 million people worldwide. Wow. That's amazing. When I drive into new communities and new areas, I can be assured there's going to be a Mormon church in that new community, in that new area. You can just be assured of that. The National Council of Churches states that the Church of Latter-day Saints is the second fastest growing church in North America. Second fastest. Why? Again, is because they understand the importance of being heard and developing strong relationships. They share the faith. I know this to be true. You know this to be true. Certainly, some of you. I mean, we've known Mormon. Pam and I have known Mormon people before, and very friendly, very engaging, very much wanting to be a part of our lives and so forth. So, it is upon our shoulders as a church, as followers, to carry the good news of Jesus Christ to others, because God is counting on us to be heard. So it's time for us to be heard regarding our understanding of the faith. Now, I understand some of us may be saying, I'm retired. Nobody's going to listen to me at this point of life. Nobody's going to take me seriously. I don't have any influence over anybody anymore. I'm old, whatever. I understand that's a comment with some people. But I'm going to suggest, don't believe these destructive thoughts that sometimes pop into our minds. If anything, as I noted last week's message, being older should give us the right to speak whatever we want to say. And how people take that is up to them, but at least we can speak to what we think is important. But we have to speak first in order to be heard. People cannot read our minds or our thoughts when it comes to the faith. We cannot just set an example by itself. We actually have to engage in conversation. Some of us may be thinking, oh, well, if they see how nice I am, well, then maybe that'll teach them a lesson. If they see how generous I am, maybe they'll be generous. Maybe. But even more so, if they could actually hear what you believe and have to say. So no matter how mature we may be about the faith or however wise we may be about the faith, if we don't talk about our faith, then nobody's going to hear us. The church, therefore, cannot grow unless the church speaks. So are you hearing me, church? Can you hear me back there in the back? All right. We don't have to be religious fanatics. I'm not asking us to do that. We don't have to be holy rollers or whatever, Jesus freaks. I don't think they have Jesus freaks anymore. But anyway, we don't have to do all that. We just have a responsibility. We have a responsibility as Christians to tell our stories, to share our faith, and to be a witness to the good news of Jesus Christ. We all have that responsibility. So can you think of someone right now for whom you can share your faith with? Can you think of a person? I think last week I said, if things are difficult, start small. Maybe we should start small when we come to sharing our faith. Maybe we ought to tell our partner, loved one, or whoever, what we believe. I've said this before, but you know when a couple's been married for a long time, Carol, when they go out to eat and nobody's talking because they've already talked about everything under the stars, right? You know what I'm saying? There's nothing to talk about. So older couples have been married for a long time, all they do is eat. They just eat. Maybe they'll look at their phone, right? How about using that opportunity to start a discussion about your faith? And don't just assume that your partner, friend, whomever, just thinks they know how you believe or what you believe. But maybe you could start off just at a simple dinner, starting to share your faith a little bit. How about sharing your faith with your children or grandchildren? Start small. If it's small kids, just start saying grace at the table so they'll understand what that means. Just say grace. You can do silly graces if you want, camp graces, it doesn't matter. But it's a start. And then as the kids mature and so forth, well then perhaps you could share with them some of the life's lessons that you have learned based on your faith. How about sharing your faith with your friends? Share your faith with your friends when the opportunity arises, and then you can start small. Just say, you know, I believe, and go from there. We all have those moments when we can jump in there when people look to us for advice. What a golden opportunity to say, you know, this is what I've learned going through church. This is what I believe. But the important point, my friends, is to start somewhere. Work to be heard, for the Lord is counting on us to tell His stories. Amen. All right, I'm exhausted because I was shouting the whole time. Oh, you know, early in my ministry, I had a country church. The windows were open. It was hot. I was talking, and this cow stuck its head in the window. I was a city kid. I didn't know what I was doing. I was going, what? That cow was as distracting as this group right here was. I love all of y'all. You know I do. Thank you for being here. Again, I know it's cold and damp outside, but thank you for being with your church family. We all need each other. We all love each other. We should love each other. If you'd like to know more about St. Philip's United Methodist Church, as I offer every Sunday, just call me, talk to me. I was talking to a couple just this past week about becoming a part of this church, and I think in time that couple will do that. So, let us go into our song, which is
I Surrender All.
Now, my friends, if you'll receive this benediction, and then after the benediction, we'll have our ascending song, our song of grace. Go forth among your neighbors as ambassadors of the Lord, your eyes enlightened with God's commandments, your minds quickened with God's testimonies, your hearts rejoicing in God's law, and your souls aflamed with God's love. Go and be heard. Amen.